the needs of the many. Initially, please accept my thanks for your kind invitation to share with you at this conference. Specifically, let me thank my German publisher, Jürgen Heiser, who's been with me for the long haul through thick and thin, and the publisher of many of my columns there, Junge Welt newspaper, and also prominent supporter, Rolf Becker. I equally thank all who have come together this day, not just to remember Red Rosa, but to look at our world and struggle for a better world tomorrow. For as Marx rightly noted, the objective isn't just to understand the world, but to change it. Much of the world is in a state of crisis, and much of that can be traced to the recent disease known as globalism, a resurgence of the fever we once called colonialism. And as in the case of most diseases, it cannot be safely quarantined to a certain space of Earth, for it travels, like air, across borders and into consciousness. Globalism doesn't just strip the resources from the beleaguered global South. It eats into the lifelines and future hopes of millions in the metropole. For the forces ravaging abroad cannot be limited from munching on attractive targets on the inside of the empire. Red Rosa would be railing and, more importantly, organizing against NAFTA and its various progeny, like CAFTA, for example. Here in the States, they were championed by the leading figures of the Democratic Party, at the same time that they were taking their votes and money for less influence over the nation's economic affairs. The work of the left here is to build, and in some cases rebuild, a true labor press that speaks to the needs and concerns of this class. In Europe, there is a long tradition of labor parties, even as some, as in Britain, betray that tradition. In the States, there's no real such tradition. Indeed, truth be told, there isn't any significant labor consciousness in the U.S., for it has been ground down under the twin weights of the bourgeois media and the nation's educational system. This is reinforced by the particulars of American history, which is sought for most of the nation's past to institute police and discipline, an insidious caste system that places blacks always at the bottom of the social pecking order. This is noted by the great W.E.B. Du Bois, who explained that white workers were, quote, compensated in part by a public and psychological wage, unquote. That's from his great book, Black Reconstruction in the United States, 1860-1880. These wages of whiteness, in the words of historian David R. Redeker, were the pay routes to a racial consciousness that superseded class consciousness and that still resonate down into our present day. This explains how white working class people lent their votes to profoundly anti-union and pro-business Republican candidates like Ronald W. Reagan, George Bush, both of them, and a plethora of politicians who have waged wars against their class, yet attracted their votes and often their loyalties. Even the most recent Democratic president, one who ostensibly cared about labor interests, here I speak of the last such president as of this writing, William J. Clinton, used his powers of office to pass NAFTA, which has done far more to destroy manufacturing jobs and consequently high-paying union jobs than any other president in the last half of the 20th century. It is a measure of labor impotence that his wife is a leading candidate for the 2009-2012 U.S. presidency. A labor press can go far to galvanize and give voice to a class that is largely voiceless in this age of claimed capitalist triumphalism and globalist inevitability. Many socialists and communists remember the inevitability that they were taught of the communist movement. If they have learned anything, it is that nothing is inevitable. It is the works and efforts of people that determines their outcomes. As communist inevitability was false, so too is corporatist, globalist inevitability. Rosa surely would be teaching that historic lesson as she urged us on to unite our various movements, to build class power, to build social power, to construct the forces necessary for true social transformation. We can all await the inevitable, or we can work for revolutionary change. I, as many of you, choose the latter. I thank you all. Danke sehr. On the move. Long live John Africa. Long live Red Rosa. Aus die Todesere. Hier spricht Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.